Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Genesis 18, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. So let's pray. Holy Lord, unless your Spirit works in us, your word is beyond our understanding. These things are spiritually discerned, and so we need the same Spirit who caused these words to be written to shine the light of understanding in our minds and hearts. Show us its meaning and convince us of its truth, that we would love you, your gospel, your people, and the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's read Genesis 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground, and said, "My Lord, if I have now found favour in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Surely I shall bear a child, since I am old'? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous... Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous shall be as the wicked? Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, Suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And now it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with 2 of my kids, Kai and Hannah. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now let me tell you the story about a politician. Do you know what a politician is?
Is it sort of like someone who's in charge, like in the government or something?
Yeah, that's right. Someone who's in the government, someone who's in charge of the country or of our state. That's right. And this politician, this was a very powerful politician. This was the Prime Minister. And the Prime Minister, he's the leader of the whole country. And he got a letter. And this letter was from a 6-year-old boy. And this letter said that there were no playgrounds on his street. In fact, there were no playgrounds on the next street or the street after. And he said, Mr. Prime Minister, please, could you make a playground to be built really close to my house? Do you think that this Prime Minister should listen to the boy who wrote him a letter, this 6-year-old boy? Should he decide, yes, that's a good idea, I'm going to do that, I'm going to follow the advice of this 6-year-old boy? Do you think that's what he should do?
No.
You don't? Why not?
Because, well, he's just a 6-year-old boy. He doesn't have much wisdom, he's not very smart.
Okay. What about a principal of a school? Principal of a Christian school. And every week, this school has a memory verse that all the kids are supposed to memorize and then tell their teachers. What if a preppy went up to the principal and said, Here's a good verse that we should memorize? Do you think that the principal would very quickly say, Yes, that is exactly right. That is what we should do?
No.
What do you think?
No.
Why not?
He's just a preppy. He's only starting.
Oh, gee. Do you know, actually, this did happen. There was either a preppy or a grade one who gave the principal an idea for a memory verse. Sometimes it seems ridiculous that one person would listen to another. It seems ridiculous to think that the Prime Minister would listen to a 6-year-old boy about building a playground. The Prime Minister has lots of really important things to think about, lots of really important decisions to make. If he gets a letter from one 6-year-old boy asking for a playground to be built really close to him, he he's probably not going to listen. And a school principal, well, probably won't listen to a little preppy or a little grade one-er about a memory verse, because they've probably got a plan in their heads about what verses they're going to be memorizing all through the term and maybe even all through the year. But, surprise, surprise, they did listen to that preppy or grade one. And do you know what's even more surprising than that? It's that God listens to us when we speak. When we pray to him, God listens to us. In our Bible story today, Abraham speaks with God and prays to God, asking him to be merciful. To be merciful to this town, so that he would save the people who are righteous in that town. God has said, I am going to destroy this town of Sodom, this city of Sodom. And Abraham said, but what if there's 50 people who love you in that town, in the city? Are you going to destroy them along with the wicked? And God says, all right, I won't destroy the city if there are 50 people who love me, if there are 50 righteous people. And then Abraham says, what about if there were 45? And God said, okay. What about 40? Okay, if there are 40 people who love me, who are righteous, I won't destroy the city. God, what about 30? Okay, if there are 30, I won't destroy it. What about 20? God said, if there are 20, I won't destroy it. And Abraham said, oh God, I know I've said a lot, but what if there are only 10? And God said, if there are 10 who love me, who are righteous, I won't destroy the city. God listened to Abraham. Do you know how amazing that is? How incredible that is? That is even more incredible than the Prime Minister listening to a six-year-old writing a letter asking for a playground. God is so much more important than the Prime Minister. And God listened to Abraham. The Bible says that God hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. Not that he always gives us what we want, but he hears us. Even though he's so powerful, he's so amazing, and we're so small, he still hears us. And he loves to hear our prayers, and he answers our prayers. Sometimes with yes, sometimes with no, sometimes with wait, but he answers our prayers. It is incredible that God listens to us, that God wants us to pray to him. And so that's one thing that we need to learn to do as his people. We need to learn to pray to God and to know that he hears us. So how about we pray now? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come to you anytime and we can pray to you knowing that you hear us. Please help us to pray to you all the time, every day. Help us to be people who love to talk to you because we know that you love to hear us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Almost every kindergarten has an invention space. They have recycling like lids, cardboard tubes and paddle pop sticks with glue, sticky tape and cotton balls. And there are two types of kinder kids. Those who try to make something like a car or house, and those who randomly stick things together and then pretend it's a real invention. It's a stark difference. Those who spend time making something real always make the more impressive invention. You can see the effort. But the ones who stick things together randomly are done in a flash. They love the sticky tape and glue. And to this mess, they give a strange purpose, like a pizza maker, which automatically puts the toppings on and sends it to the oven and catapults it to your house. When it comes to our purpose, most people are closer to the second kid than the first. They think we're a random collection of parts and we can just make up our reason for being here. Their life becomes about avoiding pain or maximizing pleasure. It becomes about the next trip, the next promotion, the next $1 million, or maybe about the next medal, the next family gathering, the next argument to win. But none of those are our true purpose. We're not a random assortment of pieces hurriedly stuck together. God formed us with purpose. And as we follow Abraham's story, we discover what our purpose is. There's many ways to phrase it, but in Genesis 18, we discover that our purpose is to be a blessing. The message of this chapter is, the righteous God blesses the world with his people. First, let's explore how Abraham is blessed. Our first heading. Abraham's blessed with God's presence. In verse 1, he's lounging around at the door of his tent, drowsy in the heat, when he looks up and there's three men waiting for him. We learn later that this is God and two angels. How quickly Abraham knew that there was something special about these men, we can't be sure, but he steps up to the plate. He runs, verse 2. He's 99 years old, it's the heat of the day, and he runs to his guests. And he plays the game of hospitality, pretending you'd offer something quick and without fuss. See verse 4. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. Sounds good. They agree, and off he goes, having 22 litres of flour made into bread and a calf being slaughtered, butchered, and cooked. Finally, after a few hours, it's ready, and he stands by, ready to serve. This is true blessing. Abraham's living out his purpose. It's not a common childhood dream to be a servant. Even in cultures where servants are more common, like the world of Downton Abbey, the servants aren't ecstatic living out their dream job. At best, they're content. Maybe they're proud of how far up the ladder they've made it, but it's a rare servant who's living the dream. But this is Abraham's purpose, and it's ours. Abraham's serving God. He's in God's presence like a waiter with the cloth folded over his arm. This is the life of worship. This is the goal, our purpose. Let go of comfort and riches and pleasure. The Catechism tells us man's chief end, our main purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And that's what's promised us in Revelation 3. Jesus says to the church in Philadelphia, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. Always with our God, ready to serve, to worship. This is true blessing. Abraham's blessed. He's blessed in verses 1 to 8 with God's presence. And in verses 9 to 15, he's blessed with a repeated promise. Verse 10, God says to Abraham, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. That's a very literal and confusing translation, that he'll return according to the time of life, but most translations explain it to mean about this time next year. This scene mustn't have been long after chapter 17, because God says something similar there. And here he is, confirming his promise again. What a blessing, what a comforting God. It was almost 25 years since the promise was first made. And then God was quiet for years, and Abraham had to wait, wondering if it had ever happened. And Sarah took matters into her own hands. Now, as the time draws closer to Sarah feeling that first little flutter to say that someone is growing inside her, God speaks. And he blesses Abraham with a repeated promise, a comfort, an assurance, a reminder that he hasn't forgotten his promise, even though it's been such a long time since that promise was first made. God's a much better father than I am. That's not surprising, I'm sure, but in moments like these, I see my failings over and over again. I'm so quick to get frustrated, to expect my kids to accept my promise and wait without complaint or questions until I'm ready to keep it. Often it's over something as simple as watching TV. They want to watch something and I've said that they'll get it when I'm ready. And they seem happy with that, at first, but then they keep coming back. 5 minutes later, 15 minutes later, they're impatient for me to keep my promise, and I'm impatient with them for being impatient. But that's nothing like God. Granted, his promises are so much more important. They're about Abraham's family and the Saviour who'd come from him. Unless Abraham has a child through Sarah, the world would forever drown in despair and slavery to sin. But even as he's been slower to keep his promise than Abraham would like, he's given these reminders of his promise scattered throughout. Again and again, he's assured Abraham that he hasn't been forgotten. And now, while on the cusp of keeping the promise, God comes again. If you're a Christian, you know what it is to wait for God to keep his promise. Jesus said in Revelation 22, "Surely I am coming soon." And for 2,000 years we've been waiting, longing for his return, when wrong will be made right, when everything sad comes untrue, when faith will be sight and all pain will be swallowed up with healing and joy. We're waiting. But God has been just as kind to us as he was to Abraham. To us, he keeps reminding us of his promise to return. When we read his word, the promise is made again. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that one day he'll return. And we will one day see our King, who gave his life that we might live, who bore our judgment so we'd be welcomed, accepted, adopted. What a blessing to have a repeated promise. Sarah laughs, and by God's reaction, it seems like it's a laugh of disbelief. And so God challenges her. Let us not doubt Jesus' promise. Let's hold on and not be so foolish to think that the years of waiting can undo the eternal plan of God for our good. God blesses his people. He blessed Abraham, and he's blessed us. Why? So that we'd be a blessing to others. The righteous God blesses the world with his people. So let's turn to our second heading, where we see this blessing for the sake of others play out. And in our second heading we see Abraham is a blessing. Why did God call Abraham? We all have reasons for our actions. We reach for the chocolate biscuit instead of the apple because we don't want to deal with the sticky juice and the biscuit is quicker to eat. We got chickens a few years ago because we wanted regular fresh eggs. But why did God call Abraham? It wasn't a random decision. In verses 18 and 19, he shares why he chose Abraham. Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. God wants a righteous people. It's why he made Adam and Eve and why he saved Noah's family. He wants a people who will love him, live for him, and care for one another. And through Abraham's offspring, he'd bring blessing to all the nations of the earth. Up to now, Abraham's had mixed results at being a blessing. He rescued Sodom and Gomorrah from the War of the Kings in chapter 14. On the other hand, he'd brought a curse on Pharaoh in chapter 12. But the righteous God blesses the world with his people, and now Abraham fulfills the purpose God has given him. Abraham is a blessing. How does he bless the world? By praying. Verses 23 to 24. Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Abraham has picked up on the clues. This is exactly what God wanted him to do. Prayer is one of the greatest ways God's people can bless the world as we bring the plight of the world before God, begging him to act. And what does Abraham build his case on? God's character. Verse 25, shall not the judge of the earth do right? God said he called Abraham so he'd have a righteous people, and now Abraham's using that same logic. You want me to be righteous, so won't you please be righteous? Don't sweep the righteous away with the wicked. Have you seen one of those TV shows where there's a planned demolition of a building? The area's taped off, they've made sure no one's in the building, and suddenly someone's yelling, convinced their friend, brother, sister is in the building. Every time I've seen a scene like that, they never seem to believe the yelling person. After being assured it's been checked, the stressing person races inside. The countdown is put on hold just in the nick of time, and the person hiding is rescued. From Abraham's prayer, what do we discover about God? That he's always willing to rescue the righteous. Righteous can mean a couple of different things. In the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings, it's usually a legal status. Someone who doesn't sin or who's had their sin forgiven. But here it's more relational. God is going to rescue the people in right relationship with him, and he'll even spare the wicked to do it. This is a God of mercy and righteousness, who passes over the sins of the wicked to rescue those who are his. And Abraham keeps putting out feelers. How far will God go? Will he show mercy to a whole city for the sake of 50, 45, 40, 30, 20? What about 10? And each time, God shows mercy. God is ready to rescue his people. The righteous God blesses the world with his people. Sodom was given this chance to be saved, even if they didn't realize it. And that's the thing. The world doesn't always realize when they've received a blessing. Who knows how often God has been merciful to our culture because of the church? Have you ever thought that one benefit of living God's way and not giving in to the culture is that God might hold off on his judgment just a bit longer? God was willing to show mercy to Sodom because of the righteousness of 10. But this side of the cross, we know that it goes even further than that. God searched Sodom for 10 righteous, and they couldn't be found. When God looked into the world, there wasn't one righteous person, not one person in right relationship with God, not one that lived for God, not one who did what God wanted him to do. And into this guilty world, God sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And because of him, the wicked are saved. Not because God ignored our sins, but because he punished the righteous one as a substitute for the wicked. Nothing we could do would be good enough. No good living, no act of kindness. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you've done enough to be acceptable to God. The reason Jesus came is because no one has done enough and no one can. But he did come. And now anyone who trusts in him is counted as righteous. Only through Jesus can we be forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Or are you trusting in yourself, thinking you're good enough for God, even when he says you're not? Genesis 18 calls us all to put our trust in Jesus, not ourselves. He's the righteous one, and he died the death of the wicked so that we could go free. The righteous God blesses the world through his people, and ultimately he blesses us through his Son. And when we believe in Jesus, we become his people, his children. And we're called to be a blessing to the world, just like Abraham. And one way we do that is to pray. Pray for the salvation of the people of the world. If we're going to fulfill our purpose, to live out the reason God has made and saved us, we need to pray. Are you praying for the lost? We know judgment is coming on all those who've rejected Jesus. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not believe in the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him." Will we pray? Will we join together to pray for the lost? Our mission is to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. To be Jesus' disciples, we need to be a praying people. We need to pray privately, desperately for the lost. And we need to gather, praying together for the sake of the people around us. It's a common, unfunny joke which says, if you want to be alone, call a prayer meeting. But it's not just a joke. It's tragically true. I know that there are a number who struggle because of their health to get to our prayer meeting before church each week. But that's not the case for all of us. Let me be honest. I struggle with prayer. It's so easy to find something else to do. But if the righteous God blesses the world with his people, we need to be a praying people. Like Abraham, we need to be boldly coming to God, begging him to be merciful, to show his righteousness, to save sinners. Will you join us, begging God to save our families, our neighbours? If we're going to be a blessing, we need to be a people of prayer. Even if you're scared to speak up, come and pray with us. Even if you don't know what to say, pray with us. Even if it feels useless and like it doesn't achieve anything, pray with us. We don't know how God will bless the world through our prayers. But those who trust in Jesus are counted as righteous, and James tells us the prayer of a righteous person has great power. Jesus told the story of the persistent widow going again and again to an unrighteous judge. She wore him out, and finally he answered her. If that's what an unrighteous judge does, what will the righteous God do? Here's what Jesus says. Will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? Will he find us praying? Will you join us in prayer? Will you commit yourself to living out your purpose and being a blessing to the world? Join us in prayer. Because the righteous God blesses the world through his people. Let's pray. Our God, what a blessing it is to be able to come to you in prayer. You are so great and mighty, so far beyond us, and yet we can approach your throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you hear us. For those of us who are your people, we long to fulfill the purpose you've given us, to be a blessing to the world. And so we pray for our world, for our family, friends, neighbours, workmates, and others we have relationships with who don't know you. We ask that you'd show mercy to them. Though they are worthy of judgment, grant to them faith and repentance. Turn them to Jesus. Give them into his hand that he would never let them go. Show our world its wickedness and give them such a horror at what they see in themselves that they'd run to you for mercy, as we have. And for those listening now who don't know you, we pray that you would start with them. Convict them of sin, and their need for Jesus. Don't let them hide behind excuses. Don't let them suppress the truth they know anymore, that you are there, you're real, and they stand guilty before you. Bless them by giving them faith and forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.